Everyone, it's story time with Aussie Dad. And as I've been bugged about reading this book by my son, Elijah, I shall be reading The Adventures of Captain Underpants. Now in full colour. Apparently this is book one of the series. Chapter one, George and Harold. Meet George Beard and Harold Hutchins. George is the kid on the left with the tie and the flat top. Harold is the one on the right with the t-shirt and the bad haircut. Remember that now. George and Harold were best friends. They had a lot in common. They lived right next door to each other, and they were both in the same fourth grade class at Jerome Horwitz Elementary School. George and Harold were usually responsible kids. Whenever anything bad happened, George and Harold were usually responsible. But don't get the wrong idea about these two. George and Harold were actually very nice boys. No matter what everybody else thought, they were good, sweet, and lovable. Well, okay, maybe they weren't so sweet and lovable, but they were good nonetheless. It's just that George and Harold each had a silly streak a mile long. Usually that silly streak was hard to control. Sometimes it got them into trouble, and once it got them into big, big trouble. But before I can tell you that story, I have to tell you this story. Chapter 2, Treehouse Comics, Inc. After a hard day of cracking jokes, pulling pranks, and causing mayhem at school, George and Harold like to rush to the old treehouse in George's backyard. Inside the treehouse were two big old fluffy chairs, a table, a cupboard crammed with junk food, and a padlocked crate filled with pencils, pens, and stacks of paper. Now, Harold loved to draw, and George loved to make up stories, and together, the two boys spent hours and hours writing and drawing their very own comic books. Over the years, they had created hundreds of their own comics, starring dozens of their own superheroes. First, there was Dogman. Then came Timmy the Talking Toilet, and who could forget the Amazing Cow Lady? But the all-time greatest superhero they ever made up had to be the Amazing Captain Underpants. George came up with the idea. Most superheroes look like they're flying around in their underwear, he said. Well, this guy actually is flying around in his underwear. The two boys laughed and laughed. Yeah, said Harold. He could fight with wedgie power. George and Harold spent entire afternoons writing and drawing the comic adventures of Captain Underpants. He was their coolest superhero ever. Luckily for the boys, the secretary at Jerome Horwitz Elementary School was much too busy to keep an eye on the copy machine. So whenever they got a chance, Harold and George would sneak into the office and run off several hundred copies of their latest Captain Underpants adventure. After school, they sold their homemade comics on the playground for 50 cents each. Chapter 3, The Adventures of Captain Underpants, written by George Beard, cartoons by Harold Hutchins. It was a time of darkness and despair for planet Earth. Bad guys had taken over the streets, and all of the superheroes in the world were too old to fight evil. Then along came a new improved extra-strength superhero. Tra-la-la! Look up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's an egg salad sandwich!
No way! I'm Captain Underpants!
Captain Underpants was faster than a speeding waistband, more powerful than boxer shorts, and able to leap tall buildings without getting a wedgie.
Tra-la-la!
Night and day, Captain Underpants watched over the city, fighting for truth, justice, and all that is pre-shrunk and cottony. Meanwhile, at a nearby elementary school, turn the page, it was Stinky Taco Surprise Day at the cafeteria. Everybody hated it so much, they all threw it away. Soon, the cafeteria food came to life.
I am the inedible hunk.
The monster ran around the school, eating everything in sight.
Match, match, match.
Help! The another bohunk just ate up 15 folding chairs and the gym teacher. Oh no, not folding chairs. This looks like a job for... Tra-la-la! Captain Underpants!
Captain Underpants shot lots of underwear at the monster, but it didn't do any good. So Captain Underpants took off running. The inedible hunk chased him.
Grrr!
Help!
And chased him. And chased him. Finally, the inedible hunk got too tired and thirsty to chase Captain Underpants.
How about a nice drink of water?
So the monster took a long drink from a shiny white bowl. When suddenly, flush! It was the toilet.
Hooray for Captain Underpants!
And so the inedible hunk got flushed away and was never heard from again.
Tra-la-la!
The end. Don't miss our next exciting adventure, Captain Underpants and the Attack of the Talking Toilet, coming soon to a playground near you. Chapter 4. Mean Old Mr. Krupp. Do you see that old guy looking out the window up there? That's Mr. Krupp, the principal. Now, Mr. Krupp was the meanest, sourest old principal in the whole history of Jerome Horwitz Elementary School. He hated laughter and singing. He hated the sounds of children playing at recess. In fact, he hated children altogether. And guess which two children Mr. Krupp hated most of all? If you guessed George and Harold, you're right. Mr. Krupp hated George and Harold. He hated their pranks and their wisecracks. He hated their silly attitudes and their constant giggling. And he especially hated those awful Captain Underpants comic books.
I'm going to get those boys one day, Mr. Krupp vowed. One day, very, very soon.
Chapter 5. One day, very, very soon. Remember when I said that George and Harold's silly streak got them into big, big trouble once? Well, this is a story of how that happened. And how some huge pranks and a little blackmail turned their principal into the coolest superhero of all time. It was the day of the big football game between the Horwitz Knuckleheads and the Stubbornville Stinkbugs. The bleachers were filled with fans. The cheerleaders ran onto the field and shook their pom-poms over their heads. A fine black dust drifted out of their pom-poms and settled all around them.
Give me a K, shouted the cheerleaders.
K, repeated the fans.
Give me an N, shouted the cheerleaders.
N, repeated the fans.
Give me an
achoo,
sneezed the cheerleaders.
Achoo,
repeated the fans. The cheerleaders sneezed and sneezed and sneezed some more. They couldn't stop sneezing.
Hey, shouted the fan in the bleachers.
Somebody sprinkled black pepper into the cheerleaders' pom-poms.
I wonder who did that, asked another fan.
The cheerleaders stumbled off the field, sneezing and dripping with mucus, as the marching band members took their places. But when the band began to play, steady streams of bubbles began blowing out of their instruments. Bubbles were everywhere. Up and down the field, the marching band slipped and slid, leaving behind a thick trail of wet, bubbly foam.
Hey, shouted the fan in the bleachers. Somebody poured bubble bath into the marching band's instruments.
I wonder who did that, asked another fan.
Soon, the football teams took the field. The knuckleheads kicked the ball. Up, up, up went the ball.
Higher and higher it went. The ball sailed into the clouds and kept right on going until nobody could see it anymore.
Hey, shouted the fan in the bleachers.
Somebody filled the game ball with helium.
I wonder who did that, asked another fan.
But the missing ball didn't make any difference because at that moment, the knuckleheads were rolling around the field, scratching and itching like crazy.
Hey, shouted the coach.
Somebody replaced our deep heating muscle rub lotion with Mr. Prankster's extra scratchy itching cream.
We wonder who did that, shouted the fans in the bleachers.
The whole afternoon went on much the same way, with people shouting everything from,
hey, somebody put sea monkeys in the lemonade, to, hey, somebody glued all the bathroom doors shut.
Before long, most of the fans in the bleachers had gotten up and left. The big game had been forfeited, and everyone in the entire school was miserable. Everyone, that is, except for two giggling boys crouching in the shadows beneath the bleachers.
Those were our best pranks yet, laughed Harold.
Yep, chuckled George. They'll be hard to top, that's for sure.
I just hope we don't get busted for this, said Harold.
Don't worry, said George. We covered our tracks really well. There's no way we'll get busted.
Chapter 6. Busted. The next day at school, an announcement came over the loudspeakers.
George Beard and Harold Hutchins, please report to Principal Krupp's office at once.
Uh-oh, said Harold. I don't like the sound of that.
Don't worry, said George. They can't prove anything.
George and Harold entered Principal Krupp's office and sat down on the chairs in front of his desk. The two boys had been in this office together countless times before, but this time was different. Mr. Krupp was smiling. As long as George and Harold had known Mr. Krupp, they had never, ever seen him smile. Mr. Krupp knew something.
I didn't see you boys at the big game yesterday, said Mr. Krupp.
No, said George. We weren't feeling well.
Yeah, Harold stammered nervously. We went home.
That's too bad, said Principal Krupp. You boys missed a good game.
George and Harold quickly glanced at each other, gulped, and tried hard not to look guilty.
Lucky for you, I have a videotape of the whole thing, Mr. Krupp said.
He turned on the television in the corner and pressed the play button on the VCR. A black and white image appeared on the TV screen. It was an overhead shot of George and Harold sprinkling pepper into the cheerleaders' pom-poms. Next came a shot of George and Harold pouring liquid bubble bath into the marching band's instruments.
How do you like the pre-game show? Asked Mr. Krupp with a devilish grin.
George eyed the television screen in terror. He couldn't answer. Harold's eyes were glued to the floor. He couldn't look. The tape went on and on, revealing all of George and Harold's behind-the-scenes antics. By now, both boys were eyeing the floor, squirming nervously and dripping with sweat. Mr. Krupp turned off the TV.
You know, he said, ever since you boys came to this school, it's been one prank after another. First, you put dissected frogs in the jello salad at the parent-teacher banquet. Then you made it snow in the cafeteria. Then you rigged all the intercoms so they played Weird Al Yankovic songs full blast for 6 hours straight. For 4 long years you two have been running amok in this school, and I've never been able to prove anything until now.
Mr. Krupp held the videotape in his hand.
I took the liberty of installing tiny video surveillance cameras all around the school. I knew I'd catch you two in the act one day. I just didn't know it would be so easy.
Chapter 7. A Little Blackmail. Mr. Krupp sat back in his chair and chuckled to himself for a long, long time. Finally, George got up the courage to speak.
What are you going to do with that tape? He said.
I thought you'd never ask,
laughed Principal Krupp.
I've thought long and hard about what to do with this tape, Mr. Krupp said. At first, I thought I'd send copies to your parents.
The boys swallowed hard and sank deeply into their chairs.
Then I thought I might send a copy to the school board, Mr. Krupp continued. I could get you both expelled for this.
The boys swallowed harder and sank deeper into their chairs.
Finally,
I came to a decision, Mr. Krupp concluded. I think the football team would be very curious to find out just who was responsible for yesterday's fiasco. I think I'll send a copy to them.
George and Harold leaped out of their chairs and fell to their knees.
No! Cried George. You can't do that! They'll kill us!
Yeah, begged Harold. They'll kill us every day for the rest of our lives!
Mr. Krupp laughed and laughed.
Please have mercy, the boys cried. We'll do anything!
Anything? Asked Principal Krupp with delight.
He reached into his desk, pulled out a list of demands and tossed it at the boys.
If you don't want to be dead as long as you live, you'll follow these rules exactly.
George and Harold carefully looked over the list.
This is blackmail, said George.
Call it what you like, Principal Krupp snapped. But if you two don't follow that list exactly, then this tape becomes the property of the Horwitz Knuckleheads.
Chapter 8. Crime and Punishment. At 6 o'clock the next morning, George and Harold dragged themselves out of bed, walked over to Mr. Krupp's house, and began washing his car. Then, while Harold scrubbed the tyres, George roamed around the yard, pulling up all the weeds and crabgrass he could find. Afterward, they cleaned the gutters and washed all the windows on Mr. Krupp's house. At school, George and Harold sat up straight, listened carefully, and spoke only when spoken to. They didn't tell jokes, they didn't pull pranks, they didn't even smile. Their teacher kept pinching herself. I just know this is a dream, she said. At lunch, the two boys vacuumed Mr. Krupp's office, shined his shoes and polished his desktop. At recess, they clipped his fingernails and ironed his tie. Each spare moment in the boys' daily schedule was spent catering to Mr. Krupp's every whim. After school, George and Harold mowed Mr. Krupp's lawn, tended his garden, and began painting the front of his house. At sunset, Mr. Krupp came outside and handed each boy a stack of books.
Gentlemen, he said, I've asked your teachers to give you both extra homework. Now go home, study hard, and I'll see you back here at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. We've got a busy day ahead of us.
Thank you, sir, moaned the two boys. George and Harold walked home dead tired.
Man, this was the worst day of my entire life, said George.
Don't worry, said Harold. We only have to do this for 8 more years. Then we can move away to some far-off land where they'll never find us. Maybe Antarctica. I've got a better idea, said George. He took a piece of paper out of his pocket and handed it to Harold. It was an old magazine ad for the 3D hypno ring.
How's this going to help us? Asked Harold. All we got to do is hypnotize Mr. Krupp, said George. We'll make him give us a video and forget this whole mess ever happened.
That's a great idea, said Harold. And the best part is, we only have to wait 4 to 6 weeks for delivery.
And that's the end of that for now. Stay tuned for more of the adventures of Captain Underpants, and we'll leave it here. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the story.